From the heart of the Carolinas, in this time of crisis, a voice of clarity, of comfort, and comedic exhortation.
Corona is spreading. This is no joke. It's no time to work or roam. The way you can fight it is simple, my friends. Just stay the at home.
This is the Vince Coakley radio program.
Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. Good to have you with us on this monumental day, which could also be a monumental week in the history of this particular republic. We've got significant events going on today, tomorrow. But I want to begin with my relationship with you, because that is of utmost importance if we're speaking of this particular broadcast before we delve into those things that are dominating media attention. After yesterday's broadcast, I believe, I received a social media message from Angie. And I want to let everyone know I appreciate every one of you who listens, whether you agree or whether you disagree with me. What I want to be clear is I want you to understand where I'm coming from. And to be honest with you, this becomes more challenging every single day. One of the things that I have been at war against for quite some time is the atmosphere we have now in this country, where we are constantly bombarded with false binary choices. And whenever we get into the false binary choice game, I make it very clear. I unequivocally will tell you I refuse to participate. Because a good many times that this happens, I can tell you with certainty that the choices that are offered are not the only choices. This is a time in the country's history when I have never seen, at least in my lifetime, so much false propaganda. And I'm telling you, I am sick and tired of it. I don't care where it comes from. I don't care who it comes from. I will not play along. I have a healthy degree of suspicion that I direct toward anybody and everybody. This is my, whether it's my interactions with people personally, or whether it's watching politics, it really doesn't matter. And one of the things that I absolutely detest are cults of personality. I've said it before, I will say it again. That will absolutely destroy this country. You will not rebuild America, the America that I believe in, with a cult. So a lot of the conflict and a lot of the misunderstanding comes about when people embrace certain things and they are very spirited in their embrace of those things. And there's a sense in which we want everybody, and isn't this human nature? We want everybody to agree with us. We want everybody to be together. And sometimes that's just not possible. And sometimes it should not happen. Because the place where the attention is being focused and where the energy is being directed is not the right thing or not the right place. I've said it before, I will say this again. Nobody deserves 100% support without any sense of correction. Nobody. There's only one person who deserves that, and that is God Himself. We're all fallible human beings. This is one of the beauties, I believe, the Constitution, the founding documents. They recognize that we are fallible human beings. And for that reason, the confidence, the trust is not placed in those human beings. It is placed in a set of values. and a set of ideas that are designed to protect us, even from this thing that everybody is celebrating called democracy. Because we know even a majority of people can be wrong. Before I even go into this, I want to go next to something I posted on social media yesterday. And I posted this because this is really a follow-up to something that I addressed on this program some weeks ago. It was after the election. And what I said is very simple. We all must realize not every injustice or wrong will be made right in this life. Our failure to accept this makes us vulnerable to dangerous manipulation by leaders, and I put that in quotes, who will take full advantage of our naivete and entertainment of pure fantasy. Fantasy. We accuse the liberals of this all the time. They want to create the perfect world where we don't have any more gun crimes, where we don't have any more racism. This is the product of progressivism. The idea that human beings can improve themselves. Now, I'm not suggesting that we cannot become better people. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that at the very core, there is a corruption that's in human nature that will not be solved by time or human effort. And there are certain things that are simply not going to go away. They're not going to go away with legislation, with a leader, with a political party. And for that reason, we have to have a very sober view of what we are going to get out of people, out of our system, and a sober view of where we are here in 2021. Human nature has not changed. It really hasn't. I hope I have time to read this. I do. And then we'll further dissect this, and I welcome your thoughts. Angie says, I've been a fan of yours for years, but recently I've had a hard time listening after hearing you say Trump needs to move on and there's not enough evidence to prove voter fraud. Have you not listened to any of the state legislative hearings or to what Sidney Powell has found? The evidence is overwhelming, but the sad part is our judicial system is either being bribed, threatened, or is just plain corrupt. The evidence is everywhere. And them not being willing to hear it is so sad for our country. If Trump just moves along, who else do you think will have the guts to stand up for our country as he has, with nothing personal to gain? Your voice is one of the few left in the media who has always spoken up for truth and God's word. I pray that you haven't also been influenced toward the left. May God bless. I'm going to further dissect this, because I want to share very bluntly where I believe we are. I hope that Republicans pull out a victory in Georgia. I really do. We'll talk about that race, those races, and much more, and where we are as a country coming up. Back on the broadcast, if you'd like to join the conversation, the Ingalls Markets talk line, 800-928-1110. 800-928-1110, especially for those of you in the upstate of South Carolina. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line 71307. Before I even continue with where I was going before the break, I just want to share with you some of what I'm reading on the text line. And it gives me a sense of where we are. And I know there are crazies everywhere. But I'm telling you, the current, the spirit of much of what I see on what is supposed to be, quote, my side, tells me so many disturbing things. Like this text. Good morning to the fear-mongering liar. You haven't caught Corona yet? That sucks. I'm serious. And I would love to hear. In fact, we should dial this person's number. And I'd want to hear what wonderful jewels that you have to offer to rebuild this country. I would love to hear that. And how this love that you're transmitting is going to be so helpful in our journey right now. It'll be so wonderful to hear. Vince, do these Trump-worshipping idiots in upstate South Carolina realize they're swept up in a personality cult led by the greatest con man in American history? Also this, we're headed back to our country's beginning, taxation without representation. Are we able to go through another revolutionary war? I pray this never happens. We need to be on our knees, hands held with heads bowed and our voices lifted towards heaven. That would be a great start. We're not just dealing with two binary choices. We're dealing with a direct attack on the Constitution. Stealing the election is not acceptable. We're dealing with a lot of leaders that are sold to our enemies. This is high treason. Can I just interject? And let me just tell you exactly what I'm feeling right now. If a person, I don't care who it is, let's say, God forbid, every effort to try to bring about some clarity and some resolution in these election issues, every single one of these efforts fail, all the way up to the House and to the Senate. What's the next step? Is it violent revolution? Do we just pick up arms? Is that the next step? If someone says that, will you do it? That's my question. That is my question. Because I'm saying to you, Americans, we're running out of options. We're running out of time. And please do not hear what I am not saying, because I'm not advocating that. I am not advocating violence. But what I'm saying to you is, what recourse is there along the way? You have to understand, you are listening to a man who is part of a country that for way too long enslaved black people. Now, some of you are going to roll your eyes. Oh, he's pulling out the victim card. No, I'm not. What I'm saying to you is, going back to what I put out on social media yesterday, I'm telling you, sometimes we do not get the resolution that we want in the time that we want it. And it takes great character to be able to keep our crap together at times when injustice is happening to us over and over again. That's what I'm saying. And what I'm hearing are these inflammatory voices continuously complaining and saying this and saying that and revving people up day in and day out. Where does this go, people? What outlet does it possibly have if at the end of the legal process we don't get what we want? What happens? It can go several directions. One direction is it goes down the violent road. Another direction is people reach a point of futility and they decide, you know what, this is just hopeless. And again, those are false binary choices. But this is what happens. It's reality where so many people are. I appreciate you, Vince, but your all-or-nothing view is atrocious. If you're an adult child, I'm not even going to read this text. This is what is so frustrating. I want to break down this particular message because it's very clear that we have become so entrenched in these narratives created by people. People who are very influential. And unfortunately, some of that influence is not healthy at all. They are the ones who are putting up this all or nothing thing. This is it. or this is the end. Let me go back to 2008. And yes, I know things have certainly gone downhill since then. How many people predicted the end of the Republic with the rise of the Obama administration? Ladies and gentlemen, we are still here. We're still here. This is really disturbing because we're at a place where there is so much demagoguery going on. And the rhetoric is so overheated. And again, what happens if it doesn't go the way we want it to? What happens? And this is where it requires a tremendous test of our character. A tremendous test. What are we going to do with it? I don't doubt the voter fraud. The extent of it, I do not know. And we have a number of avenues of addressing this, beginning with state legislatures, which, interestingly enough, several are controlled by Republicans. What's going on there? Angie, and others like you, if Trump just moves along, who else do you think will have the guts to stand up for our country as he has? Angie, can I just appeal to you? If our country depends on one man, let's shut the freaking thing down right now because we are finished. We are. This is not what our country was founded on. Did we not leave a freaking monarchy at the very beginning? And right now, we are reconstructing a monarchy and we don't even know. We did it 8 years under Barack Obama. We've done it 4 years under Donald Trump. And I don't care what you want to call it. But this is exactly what we the people are doing. We are constructing idols that are monarchies. And we don't even realize it. All under the guise of fighting the liberals. I'm going to talk more about this as we continue. I welcome your pushback. And we'll talk about the news of the day and what is ahead in Georgia and beyond. Stay with us. Back on the broadcast, and I'm just trying to be very clear, and I want one of my greatest burdens is to see people grow in discernment, and I mean all of us. Okay. So Angie says, if Trump just moves along, who else do you think will have the guts to stand up for our country as he has, with nothing personal to gain? Dear Angie, again, I no offense intended at all. I'm just going to say it again. This man is a narcissist. It's all about personal gain. Am I saying he doesn't love the country? No, but any narcissist, you have to understand you have a hierarchy of what they love. And you must understand that self is always at the top. This man has gained a lot. This is about personal gain. I'm not saying it's the only thing. But please don't tell me this is sacrifice. It's not. It's not. Show me one single solitary president who has ever left this office. Frankly, show me, aside from the ones who've gone to prison, how many politicians have gone away from political office without becoming millionaires? Everybody profits. Now, the sad thing is, in the early part of the country, there are people who really did end up in destitute poverty after presidency. But not anymore. This is the gateway to riches, to fame. And I know this is going to be offensive to a lot of people. This is what's sad to me, is that people would be so undiscerning. Like the whole thing about, oh, he's not taking a salary, he's donating it. Multiply the amount of this man's salary several times over just to come up with the amount of money that we have spent subsidizing his resorts. It more than covers the cost of any salary he's given up. Come on, people. Now, again, I'm not saying these are not just simple criticisms. I'm trying to get you to have a sober view. He's a human being. And no, I am not being influenced by the left. And let me just say this. This is not a matter of being influenced by the left or the so-called right. Because I really think a lot of people in this country, frankly, have lost their freaking minds over politics. That's the honest truth. And the sober minds that will be necessary for any kind of rebuilding in this country, I'm frankly finding them hard to find. You've got your crazy liberals who want to turn the country into some sort of Marxist paradise. Then you've got the Republicans, the Mitch McConnells, the Paul Ryans, the establishment people, who, let's just be honest, these people and their pursuit of power and riches and fame, they don't give a rat's rear end at the end of the day about the country. They don't. So I'm not defending them either. This is the bad thing. This is there. You can't find a, quote, clean side. And the sad thing is we're at a point in history where people are telling you, ooh, we are the righteous people, and those people over there, those are the unrighteous. My goodness. Nothing could be further from the truth. But it's great if you're a politician to promote messages like this, because they're simple. They're easy for people to understand. This is how you rally people. You make it sound like it's David versus Goliath, good versus evil. One of my favorite A.W. Tozer quotes, and he's talking about the church. He said, we need to confess that much of our so-called gospel light is little more than darkness made visible. And I'm telling you, folks, if A.W. Tozer is saying that about the church, what can we possibly say about modern America? Let's go into the fight. What's going on right now? The president holding a rally in Georgia. On the eve of the big showdown, four candidates vying to represent the Senate in Georgia. Two are going to prevail, and that will determine the direction of this country. What kind of country will this be? It's amazing that it actually hinges on this. Here is an excerpt of some of Donald Trump's comments from last night.
Well, I want to thank you very much. Hello, Georgia, by the way. There's no way we lost Georgia. There's no way. That was a rigged election, but we're still fighting it, and you'll see what's going to happen. We'll talk about it, and I just want to thank you. This is some crowd. You know, Biden was here today also. They had 14 people in three cars. No, there was no way, and I just want to thank you. You know, I've had two elections. I won both of them. It's amazing. And I have to tell you that the stakes of this election could not be higher. Your vote tomorrow will decide which party controls the United States Senate. The radical Democrats are trying to capture Georgia's Senate seats so they can wield unchecked, unrestrained, absolute power over every aspect of your lives. If the liberal Democrats take the Senate and the White House, and they're not taking this White House, we're going to fight like hell, I'll tell you right now. And I hope Mike Pence comes through for us, I have to tell you. I hope that our great vice president comes through for us. He's a great guy. Of course, if he doesn't come through, I won't like him quite as much. Your vote tomorrow could lose, and it could be your last chance to save the America that we love. That's why I'm here. I don't want to do rallies for other people. I told you. I'm here because of that, because of David and Kelly. The far left wants to destroy our country, demolish our history, and erase everything that we hold dear. This could be the most important vote you will ever cast for the rest of your life. It really could be.
Donald Trump, speaking yesterday evening in Dalton, Georgia. They're not taking this White House. What does he mean by that? I'm asking you this question, and I want you to give me an answer. What is this? How far does this go? 800-928-1110, the Ingalls Markets talk line, Common Sense Retirement Planning text line 71307. How far does this go for the president? How far are you willing to go? I want to hear it. We'll talk about this and more about Georgia coming up. Stay with us. So before the break, we share with you some audio from the president saying he's going to fight like hell. They're not taking this White House. What does this mean? And I'm really curious. I want to know the answer to this question. How far is he going to go, and how far are you wanting him to go? Let's go out to Jeff in Charlotte. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, Vince. How are you?
All right, sir.
Hey, thank you so much for your passion in your job. That really comes across so clearly, and we all appreciate it out here, and we listen to you frequently. And I also want to commend you for being brave and willing to share your faith on the radio and not being ashamed of it and not hiding your lamp under the table, as the word says. So thank you so much for that. I appreciate that. I'm a fellow born-again Christian. My wife and I appreciate that. So
thank you.
I wanted to tell you that. And in answer to your question, I think, Vince, what's going on here in our minds is that we've experienced so – I'm 62 years old, my wife's 59, and we've experienced a long series of men in the Oval Office who did not do what they say. You know, it's all about, you know, getting elected. Oh, we're this, we're that, we're low tax, we're this, we're that. And then everything goes to the wind after they get in office. And Donald Trump has done the job. And as my wife said in the last two elections, she said, we're not electing a preacher here. We're electing a president to do a job. And our expectations, even as Christians, can't be too high because, you know, I don't know where he is spiritually. And, you know, I'm going to Washington. We're going up on a bus with a lot of people, and we're excited to try to save our nation. It's not about Donald Trump, but he has fanned the flames of populism in order to expose all of this corruption and evil. And we have to give him credit for that. We can't overlay Christian temple onto him and think that he's, you know, Abraham or anything like that.
But, exactly. Here's my question for you, Jeff, and I appreciate everything you've shared, and I appreciate your heart in all of this. Where does this go? And I'm just giving you a scenario, for instance. Let's say that this challenge is carried out by the House and by the Senate. We've got senators. We've got members of the House who are on board. Let's say this fails. Where does this go from here, Jeff?
Say it fails in which way? That everything just kind of goes the normal way it's always
Joe gone. Biden becomes president? God forbid that we lose Georgia. What happens at that point?
Well, I mean, I think as a Christian, you have to look at it through two lenses. You have to look at it through, and I'm not trying to preach to you, but I think you would agree that we have to look at it through God is absolutely in control. He has allowed that to happen.
Yes.
And we have to wait and probably be very well prepared for judgment coming on our country. And that's another discussion for another day, for all the sickness we've allowed to become codified into our laws now, you know, that he detests. So that's one track. But the other track is the practical track that, you know, we have to prepare to just to protect our families and, you know, and to figure out where to draw the line as far as, you know, submitting to government authorities, you know, which that'll be even more difficult than it is now. But one thing I want to throw out to you that I think you'll agree to is that based on these 70 million people, which include us, that are so frustrated with men not doing what they say, you know, it's kind of Donald Trump's almost like a good football coach. You know, he's cheering the team on. The things that you played on that recording to me are just it's a contest. An election is a contest, and he's saying, "Hey, we're going to win this. We're going to kick their butts." You know, just the same things you say and you think when you're in a stadium watching
right.
a football game.
And yet,
in order to
yet
stir
Jeff,
up passion.
Let me go a little further here. Now, what if this becomes militant to the point where I'm not leaving the White House?
Well, and that's a fair question, absolutely. And, you know, I personally do not think that man will do that. But if he did, then we still have a law that we have to revert to. And if any of us 75 million who I think are still conservative and are, you know, solid country USA supporters, I think we have to, you know, make the choice to we got to follow the law here, and the Constitution is what we have to revert to. And if there's some ambiguity, we've got to figure out, you know, what is wise here, what is wise according to the scriptures,
Jeff,
Christians.
Yes, I so appreciate, and Jeff, I appreciate your level-headedness about this, because and it's what I suspected I was going to get from you as you've communicated this, and likewise, I want to compliment you on your passion and your support and concern and burden for the country, because I know it is genuine, that you and your wife share, and I want to honor that, and I appreciate you know, all that you're doing. So let's stay in touch, all right?
And thank you so much, Ben.
I hope things continue to go well. Thank God bless you as well. I hope there are a lot of Jeffs out there. I really do. That is my hope and prayer. Let's go out to Randy. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning. How are you doing today, Vince?
Doing well, sir.
Vince, I was just thinking, again, Dito's to the speaker before me on all your character of positiveness. However, you know, you bring up the fact that Trump is a narcissist. I think that most of us are somewhat like that. We always
yes, it's in our nature. Yes, it is.
Cheat things and hold on to things that we possess or try
yes.
to make sure we don't lose them. And not giving up the White House, you know, they pressed that issue some months ago about before the elections. They were, many of them had that a word of Trump leaving the White House. Will
yeah,
you
leave? You got about 20 seconds here. You got to hit it quick.
They kept pressing him with the question, will he leave the White House? Well, Trump had put too much into being the president. He don't even take a salary. I'm sure you're very much aware of that. And so he's willing to stand up for this country, like, without a salary, taking all the crap that these people are throwing at him.
Okay, Randy, we already covered that territory about the salary. Come on, people. That's really a non-issue. Hour number two is straight ahead. Stay with us.
This is the Vince Coakley radio program. From the heart of the Carolinas, challenging the smug, misinformed arrogance of the left.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
This is the Vince Coakley radio program.
Hour number two of our broadcast. Before we go into more content here, as part of our segment here for Transformation Tuesday, I want to go into something that really was communicated by one of our callers just before the end of the hour, which I think is really vital. Well, actually, we'll talk about something silly first, because I know a lot of you, millions of people around the country, have found humor in this. It is humorous in one way, sad and pathetic in another. You may be familiar with the prayer that was offered by Representative Emmanuel Cleaver opening the 107th Congress. We're going to play the end of that prayer, and I reach a point where I just come to the conclusion that stupidity, there is no end to it. Let's listen first. Here's the
end. We ask it in the name of the monotheistic God, Brahma, and God known by many names, by many different faiths. A man and a woman.
Yes, he really did say, a man and a woman. By the way, do you know what amen means? In Latin, it's very simple. In Latin, it means so be it. It has absolutely nothing to do with gender. None. But if you're a politician, everything is about politics. Everything is about gender. Everything is about sex. And so you're going to come up with the most idiotic ways to express your defiance, because you've got to show how woke you are. My goodness. It is really disturbing. Profoundly disturbing. How ignorant some people are. In fact, in front of me, there's been a lot of memes circulated over the past couple of days since that, I wouldn't even call that a prayer. You know, it kind of reminds me, in the book of Acts, there's a place where Paul references people praying. I think it may have been in Athens, how they were praying even to an unknown God. He's like, you don't even know who you're praying to. So as I mentioned, a lot of memes here making fun of this. And I'm looking at one right now where a man and woman are sitting down in a restaurant. The man is holding a menu, and it says menu. And the woman is holding the same thing, except it says womenu. This is where we are as a country, ladies and gentlemen. And we're trying to get an election right? And we're... Goodness. What do you do with this? What do you do with this? One Republican congressman said this. The prayer to open the 117th Congress ended with amen and a women. Amen is Latin for so be it. It's not a gendered word. But unfortunately, facts are irrelevant to progressives. Unbelievable. Yeah, I wonder how many. I would be quite intrigued for a reporter to just go down the line and talk to members of Congress and ask them for their genuine reaction to this prayer. Now, I have to tell you, because I'm a punster, I always make puns like this, and I am absolutely sure I have said something like this in the course of praying as a joke. But never in a million years, because I knew the meaning of the word amen, would I ever have suggested that this has anything to do with gender. But we move on. Our friend Matt Walsh. Dems open Congress with a prayer that ends amen and a woman. A woman is a nonsense word that means nothing. Dems find a way to make everything stupid and nonsensical. Utter clowns. All of them. Yeah, pretty much. Can I just remind you, and as part of Transformation Tuesday, we share this with you. This is a social media post from my friend Rob. And I hope this is something that we remember. No matter what happens today, tomorrow, and beyond, it's really still the same. Rob posted this. Whatever happens in Georgia, whatever happens in D.C., whatever happens with this virus, God is still on his throne, is in full control, is perfectly good and loving and kind and merciful, and his grace is sufficient. Fear not. Now go out and have a great day in Jesus' name. A lot of wisdom in what's been communicated here by Rob. Whenever you're tempted to be anxious, whenever you're tempted to be revved up and stirred up, and this churning in your soul, you know what I'm talking about. It comes, and it's odd of me to say this, I know, as a talk show host, it comes from sitting and listening to talk radio all day and watching certain cable news channels all day and getting revved up with anxiety and fear. Be reminded, who's still on the throne? Doesn't change. Does not change at all. There are no elections that will ever affect that. Let's go out to Brian in Charlotte. Good morning, Brian.
Morning, Vince. It's Ryan, but I forgive you.
Ah.
So I was just doing a little bit of maintenance. When you read that, when you played that prayer, Vince, I fell down. I fell down. I was laughing so hard. Because, and I knew, I know what it means too. Thank goodness you're out here and you're telling people what, you know, what the truth is. And this is so important. And it, what it does, I think, is it underscores what we're really dealing with, right? For the better part of a decade now, it's not been fashionable to be intelligent. Ever since, and I marked the time, it was from Paris Hilton, right? From right around that time on, if you used, what we call a nickel word or dime word, you weren't just, you know, being intelligent, which used to be something, we used to be lauded, right? People used to want to be intelligent. Now you're just trying to make other people feel stupid. This is what we're doing. This is what we're up against. We're up against the mob. We're up against ignorance that is not only tolerated, but now endorsed by people who would make themselves our leaders. Yes, it is funny at first, but then when you realize where it occurred, Vince, where this occurred, this is in our halls of government.
Mm-hmm.
These are the people that are supposed to be the best of us, and this is what we've gotten away from. And now I don't want to point any fingers at one party or another, because there's been nonsense you hear come out of the faces of people on the
make
right,
it quick. You got 15 seconds here.
And on the left, but I just want to say to all the pious individuals out there listening, you can't leave it all in God's hands. You have to fight. We have to fight.
Okay, I appreciate your sentiments. Coming up, oh my goodness, boy, do I have a whopper to share with you after the break. And my goodness, stay with us. Can I just appeal to you right now, just listen quietly where you are, and to just take in this information. Just take in this information thoughtfully, and for many of you, prayerfully. Something was just brought to my attention by someone who, I'll just say, is well-connected. And when I say well-connected, this is a person who is, I'll just stop there. He's been sending a number of posts the past few weeks, just talking about the atmosphere, the political atmosphere. And again, this is a person who is endeavoring to be supportive of this administration. And yet what we are watching right now, I'm not sure we understand where this is going and the dangerous road that we could be on. Did you notice the president's remarks last night about the vice president? The burden that he seemed to be putting on the vice president to come through. Remember that? I hope Mike Pence comes through for us. Well, the president has tweeted something that I just want you to think about. Because this was posted just minutes ago, 11:06. I want you to first ponder it, think about it, and I want to hear your reaction to it. Here's what he posted. The vice president has the power to reject fraudulently chosen electors. Let me repeat this again. The vice president has the power to reject fraudulently chosen electors. The first question is this true? Does the vice president have this power? What does this mean, whether it's true or not? From Donald Trump's perspective, what does he believe the vice president has the power to do, and what are the implications if he is to go down this road? I'm very curious. I'm going to get your thoughts on this. This is why I was raising the question earlier, because I'm very concerned about the place that we're in. Very concerned about it. This is very dangerous. The Ingalls Markets talk line number is 800-928-1110. Those of you in the upstate, you want to make special note of that phone number just for this particular program. 800-928-1110. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 713-07. So you hear the expectation is here on the vice president. Can he actually come through and save the presidency for Donald Trump? Will he do that? And if he does not do that, what are the implications? What are the implications for 2024? Because he is thought to be clearly one of the front runners in the race for president in 2024, especially if Donald Trump does not run. Let's quickly talk about Georgia. My friend Elijah posted this on social media yesterday. I like how as soon as I landed back in Georgia, I was swarmed with nothing but Ossoff, Purdue, Warnock, and Lefler ads, left and right. I cannot wait for this nonsense to be over with. I can only imagine. So this is going to be interesting to see how this transpires. New York Post has a great editorial on this contest. By the way, the front post, New York Post, is front cover. New York Post is really clever. War and Peach, referring to Georgia. Nation holds breath as Georgia runoffs decide our future. The person writing the editorial saying it's impossible to overstate the stakes in Georgia's runoff election, where voting finishes up today. Republicans need to win at least one race to keep control of the Senate, serving as a vital check on a Democrat Party that's careening to the far left. Dems running the Senate as well as the House and White House would spell disaster for an America struggling to bounce back from the pandemic. It is likely to be close. The final Real Clear Politics polling average shows the Democrats leading the Republican incumbents, though narrowly, John Ossoff, over Senator David Perdue by 0.8%. Raphael Warnock over Senator Kelly Loeffler by 1.8%. While polls have grown notoriously unreliable, this shows how important it is that Georgians worried about the radical progressive agenda get out and vote, especially since Democrats usually dominate in early voting. Where the state has already seen, you want to hear this? 3 million ballots have been cast. 3 million. A Democratic Senate would spell the end of President Trump's tax cuts, which lowered tax bills for most Americans. The southern border could be inundated. Regulation will increase, and a job-killing Green New Deal becomes a real possibility, along with court packing and socialized medicine. Say nothing of the way a United Democrat front will impose identity politics on the nation and cancel offenders any way they can. Speaker Nancy Pelosi on Monday gave a clear sign of how things would work, as she moved to scrap a House rule that required new spending to be offset by savings elsewhere. Under the new rule, first pushed by Democratic Socialist Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, any outlays in the name of fighting the pandemic or global warming will be exempted from the pay-as-you-go requirement. In other words, a blank check. Ossoff has tried to distance himself from the progressive wing of his party, but even he supports raising the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour and is in favor of statehood for the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico. This 33-year-old CEO of a documentary production company is an empty suit, a perpetual candidate whose main talent seems to be fundraising from out of state. And Purdue has rightly noted Ossoff's firm has ties to a Hong Kong telecom giant whose owner disdains the pro-democracy protests there. And I'm sure many of you already know who Warnock is. Does nothing to hide his radicalism or even his loony anti-American ideas. Saying in a 2016 sermon, America needs to repent for its worship of whiteness. If I can just interject here, this, the irony of this is absolutely amazing. Because it's clear that the minority presence in Georgia is certainly greater. But it blows my mind that white people will actually vote for somebody who has such a radical view of them. This is crazy. In 2018, Warnock declared, "Nativism and ethnocentrism and bigotry are in high places on both sides of the Atlantic. Before there was Trumpism over here, there was Brexit over there." Isn't that interesting? Brexit is not about independence. It's not about Britain trying to exercise its sovereignty and authority as a sovereign state. It's all about nativism and ethnocentrism and bigotry. By the way, Warnock, arrested for obstructing an investigation into suspected child abuse at a camp he ran in Maryland back in 2002. Those charges later dropped. The editorial writer for the New York Post saying Georgians should reject the politics of vilification and hate. All America will thank them. Well, the truth is about half of America will thank them. This is a picture of how divided we are. Stay with us. So we share with you the perspective of the New York Post editorial writer basically saying that the people of Georgia really need to show up to save America from really a litany of Democrat disasters that will be unleashed on the country. There's really no doubt about it. I've made the prediction before, and I repeat that prediction here. A Biden presidency will be very short. It will be followed probably within a year, maybe less, by a Kamala Harris presidency. And frankly, both of these folks, first off, you have in Joe Biden, a man who is profoundly feeble, who will not be able to stop the onslaught of the progressives that really control this party. And then you have Ms. Harris, who is a willing tool. She is basically an empty dress or an empty pantsuit, whatever you want to call it. And she will do the bidding of the radical left. There is no doubt in my mind about that. You heard from the president who spoke at a rally yesterday evening. Joe Biden was also in the state of Georgia. By the way, you heard Donald Trump mocking Joe Biden, talking about how the crowds were that showed up for his rally. What did he say? Just a few cars, making fun of the rallies, if you can call them that, that Joe Biden held before the election. Here's Joe Biden, and he takes a shot at the president during the course of this particular clip. Listen in.
Georgia, the whole nation is looking to you. The power is literally in your hands. Unlike any time in my career, one state can chart the course, not just for the next 4 years, but for the next generation. By electing John and the Reverend, you'll be voting to get the states the resources they need to get the vaccines distributed. It's a shame what's happening now. This administration has gotten off to a god-awful start. The president spends more time whining and complaining than doing something about the problem. I don't know why he still wants the job. He doesn't want to do the work. When you vote for John and Raphael, you'll be sending two senators who will fight for you, who put Georgia first, who put you first. You don't have that now. You have two senators who think it's more important to reward wealth than hard work in the tax system. You have two senators now who think they don't work for you, they work for Trump. Politicians cannot assert, take, or seize power. Power is given, granted, by the American people alone.
Oh, we're back. Did he say something? I love how I made reference to John and the Reverend. I mean, this is one crazy Reverend. I mean, you think Reverend Wright was off his rocker? Well, these folks are pretty much out of the same mold. We have to recognize the fact that roughly about half of this country believes in the stuff that this guy is promoting. Texter says, get this loser Joe Biden off my radio. He's guilty of sin. Well, Biden is right about one thing. Trump is a whiner. Yes, he is a whiner. I remember the time he said during the 2016 campaign that he whines and whines until he gets his way. So there's that. Hell, Vince, you're as crazy as the Rev. Really, you think so? Why does Harris get sworn in as a senator if she is vice president? Well, she's got to fill out her term. For now, she remains Senator Kamala Harris. Vince just saw a TikTok video of a Fight for Trump rally in Tokyo. Apparently, word that he's a xenophobe didn't reach Japan. They'll learn soon enough, right? Georgia claims they won't know who won tonight. Well, that's because Stacey Abrams needs to know how many fake votes she needs. Boy, that woman's a tool. Also on the text line, this will go the same way it went for our founders. We can't expect to enjoy the fruits of what they gave us without being willing to give what they gave in order to keep it. Not a matter of if, but when. Yeah. Constitution. Let's see here. This person is responding to what I had to say earlier. Where does this go? Over the last 10 years, we've openly seen assaults on the basic things that were in the Constitution to help keep us free. Our speech has been censored. The press is controlled. Our votes aren't tabulated correctly, accurately. Relief in the courts has been non-existent. There was a backstop in the Constitution should all those fail to keep us, being necessary to the security of a free state. The right to bear arms shall not be infringed. Oh, boy. So, again, where does this go? This Vince, that black senator in Georgia, wasn't he on Cheaters? You talking about senator, or are you talking about Senate candidate? He's not a senator yet. Let's not get ahead of ourselves here. I have a problem with Georgia. I looked up their 2020 population. It was under 4 million people, yet they're saying 3 million people voted early. Who's going to be left to vote today? All the minor children that are not eligible to vote? Yeah, I have a feeling. Whatever we think happened during the presidential election, oh, it's on steroids right now. I don't doubt this at all. Vince, it's far more dangerous to allow a stolen election than for the VP to reject fraudulent electors. I think we are witness to the coming apart of the nation either way. Mary, I fear you could be absolutely right. Vince, it would be way better to just let Biden go into the White House when he won by theft and fraud. Come on, Vince. Just what I'm asking you. If somebody says it's time to pick up arms, are you going to do it? If he looks to the military to keep him in power, do you support that? These are the questions I'm asking because I think we're getting to that point. Stay with us.